I want to talk about Neil Agut and that second inquest that started today. It's been 38 years since his death. He was an anti-apartheid doctor. His family, like so many other families, has been fighting for answers for years. He was found hanging from the bars of his cell in, of course, the notorious John Vorster Square police station in Johannesburg in 1982 after being in detention for 70 days. And an inquest at the time, with George Bizos representing the family, found that he'd committed suicide. Now there's a second inquest post-apartheid, only the second case to make it to court. I'm joined on the line by Azara Karim, who's been in that inquest for most of the day. Azara, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So this is the second inquest. The first inquest was 3,000 pages of evidence, yet still they found that he had committed suicide. What led to this case kind of coming up as the second case, and what happened this morning?
Well, you know, the family, Neil Agut's family, have been trying, you know, since TRC days in many different attempts to get the inquest, you know, back open for a second time. So it has really taken a very long time for them. They started investigating this case for the second inquest in 2016. And it's only just come to court. So, you know, it's a mammoth task. This morning, we kicked off from a poem by Advocate Nhlotwa from the MPA. I'm sure your listeners know this poem. It's called In Detention by Chris van Wyk. So he read that poem for the court just to kind of make a point that, you know, these deaths in detention were very common and they were covered up. So Advocate Howard Varney is representing the family. He's from Weber Wenzel. And he gave an opening address, which was incredibly heartfelt on behalf of the family. And what he basically said was that the Agut family believed that his suicide was brought about by the apartheid security branch. And he said, quote, either directly or by systematic torture and neglect. So that means either they murdered him or they pushed him to commit suicide. And he said that the officers involved should be held accountable for this.
Two of the officers, sorry, Azara, two of the officers that the TRC actually found were responsible for Neil's death. There's a Lieutenant Stephen Whitehead, Major Arthur Cronwright. They never applied for amnesty. And in fact, Whitehead died just a week before this case was reopened in May.
Yes.
So it's a race. It's for so many families, it's a race against time. Who can be held accountable in this case now?
The thing is that what Varney did also talk about is the incredible lack of evidence that the case has, because a lot of the police officers, the security branch officers who were involved in the case and in the first inquest in 1982, they either could not be traced or they didn't make a statement when they were contacted. So, you know, they'd maybe have to be subpoenaed. But, you know, at this point, it's kind of an open book because the council will have to see how they move forward with that and bringing in those implicated officers.
And just briefly, Neil Agut's sister, the only remaining surviving member of his family, his parents have died, his brother has died. She's going to be testifying, I believe, on Wednesday.
Yes.
And she has talked before where she remembers he didn't have a belt, he didn't have shoelaces. In fact, detainees weren't even allowed towels after they went to the shower. So the question is, how was it that he could hang himself?
So what is documented is that he was hanging in his prison with a kakoi, I think it was. And that's what the family believe, is that he, you know, he didn't do it himself. And he couldn't have unless he was pushed to.
As in so many other cases. Azara Karim, thank you so much for that. I wish we had more time. As usual, we don't. News 24 journalist there. That does